coming on.
It's the beat, it's the beat, the beat, the beat.
I feel the earth moving at my feet.
This is It's the Beat on the Mighty 1290 Coil. It's the Beat is sponsored by Filmstream's Ruth Sokoloff Theater. Now, here are your hosts, Karen Sokoloff-Javich and Jody Vinci.
Hi, Jode.
Hey, Karen.
Happy October 18th, Jode.
Can you believe? I don't know where this month is going.
I know, but it's been a sad week for us because one of our dear friends, Terry Ware,
yes,
passed away, and we are so sorry. She was lovely. She was Tom Ware's wife and worked with him at Warehouse Recording all these years, and we just love her.
Yep, a ray of sunshine.
Really, she was. I'm so sorry, Terry and her lovely daughter Rachel and Tom, and we send our love and prayers to you all.
And
dedicating the show to her today.
Yep, we absolutely
are. To our dear friend, Terry Ware.
Yep, this is for you, Terry.
All right, Terry. Okay, Jode, and we'll talk about health because we want everyone to be in good health. And Dr. Oz reveals the three foods that make you fat. Okay.
Yeah.
And, you know, and everybody does this. Okay, you have corn chips or potato chips, and guess what, guys?
Yeah, well, I mean, really, aren't both of them, I mean, either one of them are not good for you.
All the chips are bad.
And chips are chips,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, he said that you gain 9 pounds a year by eating them. The second one was breakfast cereal. I was kind of surprised at that, but it depends what kind of cereal you eat.
Yeah, and this is Dr. Oz, right?
This is Dr. Oz.
He has this message for all these dieters, right? Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Corn chips, what is it, 9 pounds? And then
he said with the breakfast cereal, if you eat the wrong kind, you'll gain 21 pounds on average a year.
Wow.
Wow.
Whoa, that hurts.
The third one is soda, Jode, which we know
soda's
that.
Soda's a killer. Yeah, people don't realize.
No, I know. And he said you'll gain 25 pounds a year if you drink soda. And he said, you know, on the counter, don't have chips on the counter. Have fruit on the counter.
Yeah, you know
what? That's really good.
It is good. Yeah. I have fruit on my counter.
Yeah, do you?
I do. I don't know if it's causing me to. Yes, I do. I mean, that's what kills me, though.
That's
it says you're apt to weigh 8 pounds less. I don't know about that, but okay. It looks pretty, and
but
I eat it.
The
but
the best fruit to lose weight, guess what it is? Grapefruit.
Grapefruit.
Yeah. Do you eat any grapefruit?
I do. You know, what's funny is my mom always talked to me about this egg and grapefruit diet.
Yeah.
That used to be a big, diet back in probably the 80s.
That's probably good.
It was the egg and grapefruit diet. Couldn't
Not
tell
too
you what.
Bad.
Yeah.
Protein and then fruit.
Yeah.
That doesn't have any calories.
What the heck? Right. Maybe that acid's just burning the fat away from the grapefruit. Who knows?
Did you ever see that movie starring Marilyn Monroe? And was it called The 7-Year Itch?
I think so.
I think it was.
Yes, it was.
Right?
Or maybe that was My Marriage. I'm not sure. Okay.
Okay.
Hello, I'll be here all week. Try the chopped liver.
They're disputing that, The 7-Year Itch. And this one author says that the fourth year of marriage is the most difficult. Not
really?
The seventh year.
And I wonder why. What is the, it's always something.
Who knows?
Because what's the fourth year? What does that mean?
I guess because you've had a child, maybe. And
okay.
I have the romance. They say, in the United States, it's so romance oriented. And the romance goes out after 2 or 3 years. Or the heavy romance.
Oh,
or something.
Goodness. I don't know.
Who knows?
Karen,
you can say anything you want, Joe.
I know. And they'll write about it. They'll be
you're
in some
right.
kind of. There will be a statistic about something.
No, you're right.
But speaking of writing about anything and statistics, Karen, what didn't we make?
Oh, Jode, we didn't win. Oh, my God.
I can't believe it. How?
We didn't win.
How is it possible?
Pierre, can you believe we didn't win Esquire's Sexiest Woman Alive? Not Jody or me.
I know.
Look at my face.
All right,
I know.
He's shocked.
I know.
Because I think you're both smoking hot.
Right. Oh, that's right.
We
come on,
Pierre.
That's right.
Thanks, Pierre. But it's Penelope Cruz, and she deserves it.
She does.
Pretty hot.
She does.
Pretty
Why
hot.
Not?
She's married to guys.
Oh, she's married to Javier Bardem.
Yes, Javier. And he reminds me of Uncle Sal, Jode. I don't know why. It's the bags under his eyes. I love it. Anyway, Saul used to work at Coil, too, so we had
he
to
did.
Mention
That's
Saul
right.
Rosinski.
That's classic. Okay,
but
that
another
is
what... beauty, Jode.
Oh, Angelina. What's going on with Angelina Jolie?
Well, can you imitate the queen again?
Ooh, what happened? That's right. She was with the queen.
She was.
And I understood the queen smiled. I heard the
she
queen
got
smiled.
An honorary Dame Award.
Oh, yes, so she's Dame Angelina. That's right. But I understood that
Dame
what
Angie?
I did. Yes, Dame Angie. And I hear that the Queen actually smiled. That means that the Queen,
Angie?
Yes,
oh.
that she really liked her, that she enjoyed
she
her.
She looked gorgeous. Did you see that photo of her in a beautiful outfit?
Yeah, yeah.
She looks gorgeous in anything, doesn't she?
You know what? She is stunning. Let's admit. I mean, you know, she's wonderful. She's beautiful. Mother of six.
Stunning.
I mean, granted, she's a little cuckoo, a little left of
but
center.
But she got an award because of her, you know, she does all these things in foreign countries.
Yeah.
That she
right.
does wonderful things like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, she really does. And so she's, you know, what can you say? She's incredible.
And Jody, this is hilarious. The next one.
What are we talking
okay,
about?
Okay, Jennifer Lawrence, you know, she's young. She's in her 20s.
Yeah.
She's in love with an older man. You'll never guess who. You never in a thousand years would guess who.
Jennifer Lawrence, but I thought she was...
No, but I mean in her fantasy.
Oh, her crush?
Her great crush.
Oh, I don't know.
Larry Davis.
Seriously?
I
oh, my God.
No idea
really?
Why.
That's funny. She likes funny guys.
She does.
Because Chris Martin actually is funny.
Is he?
From, yeah,
and that's
from,
who she, that's who she's dating, Gwyneth Paltrow's.
Yeah,
and
Gwyneth
he's Paltrow, in a band.
Yeah. He's
band?
In Coldplay.
That's
Thank
it.
You, Coldplay.
Oh, he's funny.
Well,
that must be why she likes
I
him.
I get it. And you know what? Box office, Gone Girl, Trumps flood of new films.
I know it.
$26.8 million.
I saw it. Did
I saw
see
it as well. I loved it.
It was great.
Yes. I
great,
thought it was great.
Great
it had me sitting on the edge of my seat. And you
wonderful.
Know what's going to have all of our listeners sitting on the edge of their seats?
That's for sure, Joe.
You know it's our show.
Oh, my God. Brenda Allen, there's no one like her.
No one like her. I think that everyone will not believe her story because they'll say, how is it possible that someone like that lives in Omaha?
And was dear friends with Johnny Cash.
Yes, he discovered her.
You won't believe her.
And closing the show, Susan Thomas, Executive Director of Omaha Creative Institute.
Mm-hmm. And we'll be right back with the unbelievable Brenda Allen.
Grew up in New Mexico. Always listened to my radio. Didn't have much, but hey, what did I know? I knew I'd always have my music. Played guitar in a rock and roll band.
Hey, hey, good looking. What you got cooking? How's about cooking something up with me? Hey, hey, sweet baby. Baby, don't you think maybe we could find us a brand new recipe? Oh, Hank told it. I got a hot rod board and a $2 bill.
Woo!
I know a spot right over the hill. Woo! So the pop and the dancing's free. You want to have fun? Come along with me. Hey, hey, good looking. Baby, what you got cooking? How's about cooking something up? How's about cooking something up? How's about cooking something up with me? I'm Brenda.
Woo! Woo! That is Brenda Allen. Thanks, Brenda. Jody, we will never be the same after this interview.
We've lost complete control, and we're glad for that.
We're going to have so much fun.
I mean,
Brenda Allen today
is in our studio. So we're telling our listeners now: fasten your seatbelts.
Yes.
It's going to be quite a ride.
It's going to be really fun.
Honey. I'm going to take you for a ride.
Yes, she is.
And guess who she was friends with, Jode?
Not just friends.
No,
I performed.
You performed.
Oh, yes. Johnny Cash discovered Brenda.
Yeah, and you performed
you will
with
never
him.
Believe how.
How? Tell us.
Well, I have to tell you my age, but it's like my phone number. It's unlisted now.
You're not that old, believe me.
No.
That's right. You
no,
are not
but
that
I
old.
Do, because I was 18 years old, and Johnny was about 27.
Okay.
Is what I figure when we met. There was a show on ABC television that starred Pat Boone's father-in-law, Red Foley.
Oh.
And it was the Branson, Springfield, Missouri Ozark Jubilee, but it was the Ozark Jubilee. It was on the air, I don't remember exactly how many years, but they had their own people just like the Grand Ole Opry. And they were looking for another girl singer. So I and my girlfriend went to Springfield, Missouri to audition for the Ozark Jubilee when I was only 18.
Wow.
I had already started playing guitar in high school and doing rock and roll, early rockabilly rock and roll.
Yeah.
Wanda Jackson, Let's Have a Party, you know.
Sure. Yeah. And you're a girl from Lincoln, correct?
I'm from Lincoln, Nebraska. I graduated from Lincoln High. I was raised in a little town called Martell, Nebraska. But it was so small, the city park was one tree.
Well, Brenda, I want to know when you saw this handsome man in black.
Back then, we didn't have, like you do now,
right?
You know, the exposure.
Sure.
And I was a country girl, and I was not cool in high school. I did rock and roll then. My girlfriend and I took a bus down to Springfield, and I called Merle Lindsay, the head of the Ozark Jubilee Band, and said, I want to audition. And he said, come on down. I've got this Saturday. And so we got there on Friday night, and it was just a little town, 35 miles from Branson. Mm-hmm. And it was in an old movie theater. There were absolutely no dressing rooms, anything like that. So everybody, they rehearsed all day Saturday, and then they went to their homes and changed clothes and came back to the theater. And there were no dressing rooms to change clothes there. So anyway, make a long story short, we were sitting there that afternoon, and these three good-looking guys were sitting kind of down in about the fourth or fifth row, and my girlfriend and I were about the ninth or tenth. And, oh, I thought, who? I said, I don't know who that is. I knew I don't know if Marvin Rainwater was on. I bet little Brenda Lee and Uncle Sipe and Aunt Sap Brassfield were the cousin Minnie Pearl of this Opry, you know, or Jubilee. And, of course, Red Foley, Chattanooga Shoeshine Boy, Peace in the Valley, those great hits.
Wow, I didn't know that's the father-in-law of Pat Boone.
Yes,
I didn't know
father-in-law
that.
Of Pat Boone.
Wow.
Debbie Boone's grandfather,
yeah, right.
Yes, absolutely. Everybody was going up and doing their bit. They were timing the show, getting everything ready. And behind him, they were having a real elephant do the tricks. As he described it in a hillbilly way. You
had
know?
A real elephant there.
Oh, yeah, there was a real elephant.
When you say there was an elephant in the room.
There was an elephant in the room.
Can you imagine? And they had the camera lined up, so you'd see Uncle Sap in the little sitting, and then they had the another angle where you could see the elephant doing the trick. Well, this was that last run-through, right?
Yeah.
And so Uncle Sap said, that elephant raised up on his back legs, and he was doing this trick, and all of a sudden that elephant relieved himself.
Over everyone.
All over everybody. About 20 rows out, I think that bladder must have been the size of St. Louis or Chicago.
Sure, they probably thought they were at SeaWorld. They had no idea.
And I don't think he had relieved himself for 3.5 months or something.
My God.
I don't know.
What did you guys do about your clothes?
We dove under the seats.
Oh, God.
And we had gone back to change to look nice for the evening. And here's this long, tall, long-legged guy comes running over the seats, and I'm down under it. And I turned around to him just like I'm looking at you, and I had my back to him. And I heard this voice go, high's the water, Mama. Well, it's 2 feet high and rising.
Wow.
I said,
my God.
I said, oh, crap, you're Johnny Cash. And he said, I know that. Who are you? Hi, I'm Johnny Cash's sister. No Cash. I hear the train a-coming. It's rolling round the bend. Well, I ain't seen any moonshine since I don't know when. I'm stuck in Folsom Prison, and time keeps dragging on and on and on. But that train keeps rolling on down to San Antone. Whoa, whoa!
Oh,
I taught the weeping willow how to cry, cry, cry. Ah, big river, I'm gonna get you when I die. A little bit of everything of Johnny Cash. Oh, get rhythm. When you get the blues, come on, get rhythm. When you get the blues, Get that rock and roll feeling in your bones. Get taps on your toes and get going, get rhythm. Woo! When you get the blues, well, the Rock Island Line is a mighty good road. Rock Island Line is the road to ride. Rock Island Line is a mighty good road. If you ride, you gotta ride it like a fine. You get your ticket at the station on the Rock Island Line. The man that told the story of us all in country music, and he could write a song. He was a poet, and suffered good and bad times, and he shared it with everybody. And I'm proud to say I worked and was discovered by Johnny Cash. Yeah. If they free me from this prison, if that railroad train was mine, I'll bet I'd move it on a little farther down the line. Woo! Far from Folsom Prison, that's where I want to stay. I go out and entertain the incarcerated vets all the time.
Prison, I know.
That's my crowd.
Then I let that lonesome whistle blow my blues away. That's for Karen and Jody and our friend back there.
And Pierre. All right. That is the
Brenda.
That's unbelievable. Brenda Allen.
That was lovely.
J.R. Cash.
Yes, who was friends with Johnny Cash. That's a great song.
Yeah, and
what do you think was his pull to people? I mean, why did we feel all that he said?
Because he was human.
Yeah.
And he let you know that.
He
would be on the highest mountain in Israel proclaiming to God, and he would be in the dredges of a forest fire that he started from amphetamines and drugs out in the desert, and he shared it all.
Yeah.
And he loved to travel. He loved music, and he was a poet. He was a pauper. He was for the downtrodden. He did prison reform for the people, and just a number of things. And everything that Johnny loved, he could put it in a song.
You're listening to It's the Beat on the Mighty 1290 Coil. Once again, here are your hosts, Karen Sokoloff-Javich and Jody Vinci.
You've had an unbelievable career, Brenda.
Really?
You went to Vietnam in an all-girl band, right?
Yes. Well, the all-girl band was kind of it just all fell into place. I don't know how to describe that. I went to work for a fashion store called Hovland Swanson.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, Hovland Swanson in Lincoln.
Yeah, we know
that.
Loved it.
It was the greatest.
Store in the Midwest.
Absolutely.
It was an exclusive.
Yes, it was.
And anybody that knew anything brought their daughters to Hovland's to go to the University of Nebraska.
Yeah.
And my boss there was Clarence Swanson, I just loved him. He was absolutely the greatest. And he was All-American in 1922, caught 4 touchdown passes.
Hey.
And he was in the college. He was put into the College Football Hall of Fame. And I was playing at different places, and Swanee didn't believe in moonlighting. He paid well, and we got a real, and you had to look like the store.
Wow.
Yeah.
And he came out to where I was singing one night, and he said, "You're fired." And I said, "What?
Yeah.
Oh, no, you caught me." He said, "No." He said, "You do a better job behind the guitar than you do my..."
So how'd you get to Vietnam then through all this?
Well, it was a long row, because then I started singing with Boxcar, Marty Martin. And then one night I was backstage at Hat Peebles, our agent out of Kansas City, had brought in a show, and there was another girl, they said, talking about a band. and they introduced us, and her name was Joanne Paw. And Joanne was banquet manager at the Holiday Inn in Lincoln. Mm-hmm. And I worked at Hovland Swanson. Mm-hmm. She said, I want to form an all-girl band. I said, that's nice. have a good time. Because by that time, I was working clubs, you know, doing a single act already. Yeah. And I wanted to go to Nashville eventually and all that. And we started rehearsing, and then she said, I met a girl that plays lead guitar. I said, a woman that plays lead? That's
pretty good.
Unheard of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
And we met her. Her name was Helen, Helen Bauma.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, Helen, when I saw her, it reminded me of myself in Martell, Nebraska.
There you go.
We had a little house out, you know, that little path. Helen was in a feed sack dress and flat shoes when I met her. And I'm dressed like Hovland Swanson.
Right.
And she's looking at me like, and I'm looking at her like, until she picked the guitar up, and I looked at her a whole lot different.
Oh, my gosh.
So, Brenda, so you went to, went to Vietnam.
There were four.
No. There was four of them.
This is how the band got together.
Wow. Yeah. So the band got together, and then you went to Vietnam from this meeting?
Well, Hap Peebles was our agent out of Kansas City.
Did he find the other two women?
Yeah, we got three of us together.
Okay.
And then Johnny Cash came back to Lincoln in Omaha.
Okay.
And I said, you got to hear, I went backstage and I said, you got to hear. He told me, Brenda, why work for everybody else? Why don't you get your own band together?
Yeah, there you go.
So I said, well, I don't know if I want a band. I'd rather maybe do my own thing. And he said, well, what's the name of you girls? And I said, we're calling ourselves the Country Misses. And he said, no, don't call yourselves country because you won't get hired. Back then.
Wouldn't get hired.
And he said, they think I'm rock and roll.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Meaning himself.
So what'd you call it yourself?
Well, we sat there because one of the girls looked a little bit like Elizabeth Taylor. And the other one, her name, her mother's maiden name was Williams. Her grandmother's maiden name was Taylor, so
that's funny.
Somebody had Williams already, obviously, Hank Williams. So we decided the Statler brothers weren't all brothers, so we decided to go with the Taylor sisters.
Oh, there you go. Okay. There you go.
That's what we called ourselves. And Johnny listened to us that night. He said, you blow me away. You've been together a couple of years now, right? And I said, we've been together exactly 6 months.
Wow.
He said, amazing. He said, you know, I may consider you for backup. This was before the Carter family.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
And I said, oh, my gosh, that would be tremendous, you know. And so we did that at the hotel. We sat there and picked guitar with him and everything and all that stuff. And then he said, I'm going to have you open a show again for Hap next month when he brings a, and it was Jimmy C. Newman and I think Lonzo and Oscar, Grand Ole Opry acts. And Hap announced, these girls are going to be opening in Wichita, Kansas with Johnny Cash next month.
So,
we all quit our day job.
And then you went. So can you close? So, we wish we could have you on for the next
three hours.
But unfortunately, you know, we only have an hour show. But can you play us a song? Can you play out a song that you played, that you opened with? I'm sure our listeners would love to hear it. And Brenda, thank you for being on the show.
Brenda,
it's been wonderful, Brenda.
You pick a song that you want to leave with, okay?
Well, let's see. I'm trying to figure out, this one, we finally ended up, Helen, I think, recorded it.
Okay.
And Loretta Lynn said, we do well with it, you know, make some money for me. And so I'm going to send it out to all my friends. Joanne was from Chicago originally. And Helen was from Gulen, Alabama.
Okay.
And so I send this out to all my friends and my family that are listening to the show. I was born the coal miner's daughter. From a cabin on a hill in Butcher Holler. We were poor, but we had love. That's the one thing that Daddy made sure of. He'd shovel coal to make a poor man's dollar. Now my daddy worked all night in the Bend of coal mines. All day long in the fields hoeing corn. Mama rocked the babies at night. She read the Bible by a coal all light. And things would start all over at the break of dawn. Daddy loved and raised eight kids on a miner's pay.
Ooh.
Yeah. And Mama scrubbed our clothes on a washboard every day. Lord, I seen her fingers bleed. To complain, there was no need. She'd smile in Mommy's understanding ways. And I'm proud to be a coal miner's daughter. And I remember well the well where we drew water. Lord, the work we did was hard, and we'd sleep at night 'cause we were tired, and we never thought of leaving Butcher Holler. We worked with Loretta Lynn, and she is just as down home as she sounds. I've got her pickle recipe someplace. And I'm proud to be a coal miner's daughter.
Woo!
Thank you, Brenda.
Brenda Allen. Thank you, Brenda.
Thank you, thank you.
All right.
All right.
You're listening to It's the Beat on the Mighty 1290 Coil. Once again, here are your hosts, Karen Sokoloff-Javich and Jody Vinci.
Oh, my gosh. Karen, listen. I'm exhausted. But not too exhausted to introduce our next guest, Susan Thomas, who's the executive director of the Creative Institute in Omaha. Susan, just, you know, her background, I'm exhausted just
I know, look at
her
this
background. A B.A. in American Studies from Vassar College and an M.B.A. from Harvard Business School. You know, she's president of Omaha West Rotary and serves on the board of Future of Decatur, Nebraska Foundation. I love it. Susan's a member of the Omaha Network Greater Omaha Chamber of Commerce as well, Leadership Omaha Class 30. And I truly am so, so happy to see that.
Oh,
25 years.
Apple,
working in the Big Apple on Wall Street.
Wow.
And then, you know, so a little contrast from our previous guest. Mm-hmm. But you know what? We welcome you, Susan, and we're so excited to hear about what's going on with the Creative Institute.
All kinds of great things.
Yes.
We do a number of things, all of which are geared toward building the audience for the arts, making art experiences, creative experiences more accessible to all in our region, as well as helping artists to be able to have more sustainable practices, that is to help them be better entrepreneurs or better business people, and to be able to take their creative skills and make the most of them as business people. So
that's such a good idea, Susan, because, you know, because I write music, but I can't do the business aspect.
Well, and that's so typical, actually, of artists of all kinds.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And actually of entrepreneurs, where the ideas are there, the creativity is there, but many times with small upstart businesses, ultimately somebody else has to do the business side. But in this case, we are, right now, as we speak, is a a workshop called Artist Inc. We are having the sixth one, and there were artists that applied for this program, and 22 were chosen. And it is to specifically teach or expose artists to things that arguably aren't that interesting to them, whether it's legal issues, marketing of their work, financial management, social media and using that to promote themselves, etc. And so we will be having a showcase of those 22 in the first quarter of next year after they've finished this program. There are four facilitators who are local artists who are actually currently financially sustainable doing what they do. And so those people, those four, will be featured at our patron party on November 18th. And they are Matt Mason, who's a very well-known and well-regarded poet. And he has taken, along with Nebraska Writers Collective, he's taken poetry into the schools with Louder Than a Bomb and Slam Poetry in high schools.
Oh, sure. Right, yeah, I'm very familiar
Rob
with his work.
Rob Walters is the head of the art department at Iowa Western Community College, and he's a filmmaker and a photographer. Waddy White, who has done all kinds of things in our city, murals, community art projects. He currently has his work at Crystal Bridges in Arkansas, which is a fabulous show where one of the Walmart people did put together this museum and went to every state, and there are two representatives from Nebraska, and one is Waddy White and one is Angela Drakeford, and then Mary Zickafoos, who is broadly known. She teaches weaving and tapestry making courses across the country, across the world. She's about to go to China for an exhibit and to teach. So they will be featured at our November 18th event. And we would love to have people sign up for that. It's really our major fundraising event because we are a nonprofit.
Right.
And
so what's the date on that?
November 18th.
What's the day of the week?
Tuesday. Tuesday, November 18th.
From 6 to 8 p.m.?
6 to 8 p.m., okay. Cocktails and hors d'oeuvres. And we always have a signature cocktail. So that has not yet been specifically determined, but it's just it's a fun thing that we do.
That's great.
We're having this at the home of Mary Zickafoos, and we always have them at private homes where people have great art collections.
Oh.
And so it's art, art in all ways. And so that's on the 18th. And between now and then, we have workshops that are available for the general public to sign up by going to our website, omahacreativeinstitute.org. Be careful on that because the institute... it's hard to spell properly without double checking.
But, you know, 25 years on Wall Street and with an MBA from Harvard, I only hope that you can spell it.
Oh,
that's
I
right.
can spell it. It's
well,
a matter of my mind.
I know. She said, be careful how you're spelling it. I just want to make sure she knows how to spell it as well. You know, all that schooling, I just want to make sure you know how to spell it. Okay, Susan?
Now, Susan, is that how we our listeners would sign up for the patron party also?
Yes, you absolutely may sign up for the patron party that way. So you sign up for, what do we have? We have on the
22nd, you have Cartooning with Tom Kerr. And Tom Kerr is at 10 a.m., Omaha. And then Native Art with Steve. And I don't have my glasses. Tamayo?
Tamayo.
Okay, Tamayo, Tamayo. Yep. Right? You say Tamayo, I say Tamayo.
Exactly.
Perfect. And that's the 22nd. And I believe that's what I show so far up into the 22nd.
Let's see. Oh, these are the Artist Inc. sessions.
Those are the Artist Inc. here.
Just take a quick look here because I know we have ukulele. Uh-huh. Okay, November 1st, we have Beginning Ukulele with Mark Gutierrez.
These are all on Tuesdays, correct?
These are for the public on Saturdays.
Oh, those are on Saturdays.
The Tuesday events are for practicing artists. And that's we may do it again next year. And people have asked us to do it again next year. But these classes, these workshops, there's blacksmithing, which we do not do where our offices are because it's a little too hot and dirty. So that's actually done at the blacksmith shop.
That sounds like my kind of...
it's pretty rough and tumble.
Where's the Karen, ukulele? I want to learn how to play a ukulele.
Ukulele is at our where our workspace is at 1516 Cumming Street. And it is a great class. How many of you out there own a ukulele?
Yeah, none.
You don't?
None.
Oh, come on.
No, I know one person who knows.
Okay.
Oh, you do too, Pierre?
know somebody.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Your cousin's also, cousin's cousin.
Do you really learn it, though, Susan, after one
lesson?
Well, you lesson?
Learn. You can play because can play. It has fewer strings than a guitar.
I know it.
It is the simplest
one. Oh, how fun.
One
to what's
learn?
The date on that? I have to write that,
that
down.
That is
Karen's
November
be there.
1st.
So November 1st, that's Karen
Saturday.
Will be there.
Saturday.
Be there.
Okay. November 15th is blacksmithing and lamp work bead making. From as a layperson, I look at lampwork bead making as tiny glass blowing. That's not quite true, but you use hot glass to make beads, beautiful beads.
Okay.
And then the patron party, and then as you were saying, cartooning on November 22nd and native art that same day.
You mean you would learn to draw
yes,
a cartoon?
Yes, yes, yes. Yeah. And it's the person who teaches that is Tom Kerr, and he used to be
He's
the cartoonist
amazing.
For the
right.
World Herald.
I know.
Yes.
We've had him on the show. Yeah.
Oh, I'm sure you have.
Yeah, he's
because
incredible.
And he's a great teacher, and he's been a great ambassador for Omaha Creative Institute. So.
Oh, I think this all sounds so much fun. I mean, blacksmithing? Who wouldn't want to learn how to blacksmith?
Well, and it makes you feel strong. It makes you feel... So
that's true. You can do that, and then you can play the ukulele.
She had me at the hot and dirty, but that's a whole other show. I don't know.
Yeah,
you know, what can I tell you?
Didn't you just have that? Didn't you just have that part already?
I did. I don't know what happened. I have no idea.
So you can go to our website and see what we're all about. It is part of it is for artists. We are a fabulous city for artists to live in. It is not a terrifically expensive city.
Isn't it great? We love Omaha.
But if we don't have more people who are willing and able to support the arts, then the artists won't stay here and aren't able to to earn. I mean, not that being a bartender is a bad job, but if that's not what you want to do for a living, it can be really kind of debilitating. So to support our local artists.
So they need donations. Creative Institute.
Omaha Creative Institute needs donations because we put together things where artists get paid.
I know it.
And that's a really important part of it. So, we're tiny. I mean, we have 1.5 people. Everybody's sort of part-time. And But it's been, we've done some great things. Play Me, I'm Yours. I don't know if you saw the pianos that were around the city in the summer of 2013.
Yes, I remember that. That was
our public art project. Yeah. We're going to be doing a big public art project next summer, but we have to plan it now and raise the money for it now, and it will be all over town as well.
Well, we definitely will have you back, Susan, when we
have
that kickoff for the summer, and we are all about supporting the arts in Omaha and in Nebraska and the surrounding areas. Karen, I know, has been a supporter, obviously, for years, and this is what the show is all about. It's The Beat. That's our foundation. That's our platform. So we hope that all of our listeners will support the arts and, of course, Creative Institute and the artists who
Susan
are...
Susan Thomas.
And Susan Thomas, but the artists who are putting on the classes at Creative Institute. Well, Susan, thanks so much.
Thanks so much,
so appreciate
Susan.
Your time.
So interesting.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely.
For having
me back.
Creative Institute.
Absolutely. Good luck with your big event.
Thank you very much.
You're listening to It's the Beat on the Mighty 1290 Coil. Once again, here are your hosts, Karen Sokoloff-Javich and Jody Vinci.
What a show.
Oh, my gosh.
Could you believe?
When I said I was exhausted when I introduced Susan, truly, there's just so much action.
I know. She had so much energy, Brenda Allen.
She really did.
Unbelievable.
And, and we were talking about Gone Girl in the opening of the show. Mm-hmm. You know that Reese Witherspoon was a producer of Gone Girl? And what did Reese Witherspoon play?
June Carter.
She did, and she won an Academy Award.
And Brenda knew June Carter. Brenda was a friend of Johnny Cash, started her career.
6 degrees of separation.
She's unbelievable.
I know it.
She's very good.
I know. She is.
Yeah, she really is. And then Susan Thomas is a ball of fire also.
She is.
Loved
she really
her
is.
As the executive director of the Omaha Creative Institute.
She is a Nebraska girl that hit Wall Street and then came back to Nebraska where her roots are. And she's helping the arts, those that are artists in Omaha, and we'll do whatever
lucky.
We can.
We
are lucky.
Omaha. We're so lucky.
We are.
To live
we'll
here.
Do whatever we can to support the arts.
Yeah, absolutely. And we thank our sponsor, Film Springs.
Film Springs.
I think I have a new name.
That's
Film
right.
Springs.
That's right. Film Springs. Da 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 da.
No, we love Film Streams, all their movies, creative movies, and Rachel Jacobson.
We love Rachel.
And thank you, Coil, for having us on.
Thank you, Pierre. We love our P.
Thanks, P.
That's right. We love our producer,
Right.
Pierre.
And we want to say again how we're dedicating our show to our dear friend,
Terry Ware, who we will miss forever. She's in our hearts forever. We love you.
And the Ware family.
And the Ware family, Tom and Rachel Ware. And because of Terry, I want to play my song, Friends, because she was a dear friend of both of us. Right, Jode?
Yep, absolutely. And we'll see you all next week.
We are friends. We're friends for always. We're friends for all day. Yes, we are friends, walking hand in hand, almost like sisters, always together, the best of friends. As time passes on, there will be no goodbyes, for you always will be right beside me, even if you're gone, I will take you away. Thank you.